Well, this morning, we're going to wrap up this series just called Samaritans. It tells us of the love of God for the lost, the hurting, and the outcast, that there are none that are beyond his redemption. There are none that he cannot save, none that he cannot heal and set free and make whole. It tells us that God can use anybody, that he wants us, his vessels, to go into the world and tell them the good news. You know, after King Solomon's death, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the southern kingdom, which was known as Judah, and the northern kingdom that was still known as Israel. And that northern kingdom is where the city of Samaria was built. Because of idolatry, Samaria had become such a wicked place. The people lacked any kind of moral character whatsoever, even just human decency. And we're going to read in 2 Kings chapter 6. This tells us the story where there's been a great army that's come against the city of Samaria. And because of the army that surrounds the city, the people are trapped inside. They can't go in or out. And so there's a terrible famine in the city. We're going to pick it up in verse 24 of 2 Kings chapter 6. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Now, let's just put this into perspective a little bit. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he did so for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the price to purchase a slave. And here in Samaria, a donkey's head, not a whole donkey, a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a cup of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. How hungry do you gotta be to eat dove droppings? I don't know. I don't want to know. You know what I'm saying? But believe it or not, the story is about to get worse. It was a desperate time for these people. Verse 26, then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find food for you, from the threshing floor or from the wine press?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" See, he knows that she knows he doesn't have anything to give her. But he says, "What's troubling you?" And so the woman said, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him, and I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him,' but she's hidden her son." This is real. How sick, how depraved were these people that they could do such horrible things? Did you know there's a lot of terrible things going on in our world? All kinds of things, human trafficking and abortion and all kinds of drug addiction and terrible violence and mass shootings happening all the time. So much depravity, so much bitterness and anger and hatred, brutality. Many in our world are in a desperate way. Absolutely. Now, there are good things happening in our generation. Amen? I mean, God is moving and working in his people and through his people. And many of us are enjoying the blessings of God. And at the same time, so many in our world are in a desperate way. The Lord had mercy on these Samaritans. Oh, the depths of the mercy of God. That's extravagant mercy, that God would show mercy to such a people. And here's what we need to take from that is that God would show mercy to people in our time. I don't need any music. I ain't going to sing. don't know what that's about. But here's what I know. In our time, God still is a God of great mercy. God would show mercy to those wicked people in our world right now. Amen. The Lord sends a word through the prophet Elisha to the people. And we're going to pick it up at 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Now the prophet is just telling them, tomorrow food is going to be super cheap. It's going to be in abundance. We're not going to have any more problems with this. There's going to be plenty and it's going to be cheap. Crazy prophet saying such things. That's what this guy thought. Verse 2, an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "Elisha, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Don't ever be cynical and doubt what God can do. You know, I'll tell you the end of the story for that guy is that when that day came and there was plenty of food, he was trampled to death. He didn't eat any of it. But we just need to be ready for what God wants to do. Let's read on in verse 3. Now there was four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." This is a desperate time, isn't it? So they picked the least bad choice. And they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some things from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the whole city is saved. The whole city has plenty of food, all because of the mercy of God and the mercy of four lepers. That God used to bring the good news to that city. Here's this city of wicked people, and somehow in the mercy of God, he sends good news to them and they're delivered. Four lepers, outcasts. Listen, they couldn't work. They couldn't be with their families. They couldn't be a part of society. They were put out of the city permanently. They had a sentence of death on them. And God chooses to use these four lepers. Amazing. You think he can't use you? They had to share what they had found. I mean, these guys were absolute paupers. And now they just became the richest guys around. They had all the wealth that they could want, but they said, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news. We can't stay silent any longer. Before this day, these guys were the very definition of nobody. I mean, they were absolutely nobody to the rest of town, but today they became somebodies as they made a difference in everybody else's life. We need to see that God used these four lepers that were rejected by society, and we need to understand that there is not a one of us in this building this morning that God cannot put his hand upon and use. And we all who have been born again and know the Lord, we have some good news, and we cannot keep it to ourselves. It's not right to keep it to ourselves. You need to know there's nothing in your past that would keep God from using you. Your past is part of your testimony of God's grace and his redeeming power. Now I'm going to tell you this morning, the squeaky clean Christian like my wife, who's never strayed from the Lord, they have a great testimony and they can reach a lot of people. But there are some people that they can't reach, because there are some people, like maybe a drug addict, who would say, hey, that's great for you, you good little church girl. Maybe that works for you, but that could never work for somebody like me. They need to hear from somebody else that's been through some things, that's had some problems, maybe from another drug addict that got saved by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear your testimony. I know that sometimes, you know, we think of our past. If we've been serving the Lord for a while, we might feel ashamed of that past. We don't want, people need to hear how God saved one such as I. Amen. A wretch like me. Amen. We need to tell them. The Apostle Paul, he proclaimed himself to be the chief of sinners. He was pretty bad. I mean, he was a religious sinner, but oh, he was full of such hatred and bitterness and meanness. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Whatever you've done, I've done worse. You think you're bad? I'm way worse than any of you. That's what he was saying. I'm the chief of sinners. And you see, people need to know that our God can save anybody. Look what he did, the mercy that he showed to these Samaritans. Our God can save anybody. And I just want you to realize that we have a testimony, every one of us, we have a testimony. We have some good news that we've got to share with the world. Whatever weaknesses you have, you know, you just need to realize that they're just an opportunity for God's strength to show up in you. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then the Apostle Paul, in response, he says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see, you need to realize that in your weakness, God is able to show up and use you. So none of us is beyond God being able to use us for his glory. None of us is where we can't be used by God to help somebody else and touch somebody else's life. Think about this. I mean, the Lord used the least likely in this story. I mean, Elisha prophesied it, but it wasn't Elisha that went out there and found the army gone. It wasn't the king. It wasn't some strong person, some noble, some rich guy. It was the lepers. That tells me he can use any of us. And they said, it's not right for us to keep it to ourselves. See, we who are believers, we've been saved by the grace of God. We have so much. Sometimes we just kind of take it for granted. We just don't realize that in Christ, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. You see, we got the peace of God. When we're going through turmoil and there's problems, things happening in our world, yet we got peace. I want you to know something. People in this world, they need that peace. We've got something that they need. They need to know about this good news of peace. They need to know about the joy of the Lord, that even when we go through those difficult times, we can still have a joy deep down on the inside. They need that joy. They need to know that our God is the healer, that there's somewhere to turn. When doctors and medicine have no answers, there's a God who always has an answer. They need to know that they can be set free from their addictions. Church, we've got what they need, and we can't just keep it to ourselves. No, we've got to share it. These Samaritans, they were starving. Realize that in our world, there's so many, they may have food, but they're empty on the inside. They need the Lord. Lepers made a decision. They said, we've got to share what we found. And they started off, you know, when they very first started off, they ate their fill, and then they got some treasure and they went and hid it. And then they went to the next tent and they did the same thing. But then they realized it's not right. We got to share it. You see, Christian, we're blessed, but it's not right for us to keep it to ourselves. There's so many that need it. I've known Christians that didn't really care if anybody else came. In fact, 20 years ago, not long after I came back to Grace as pastor, I heard there were some young people in the youth group that said that they didn't want the youth group to grow because they liked it like it was. I'm thankful our youth group is not like that now, that they welcome anybody, that they want their friends, they want other people to come to know the Lord and to have what they have. But you see, we got to keep our heart right and realize that God is not through with us. That yes, he saved us. Yes, he healed us. Yes, we're on our way to heaven. But he's got a purpose for us and he wants to use us. These lepers. It's so strange to me even, especially when I see all the stuff that goes on in our culture, that these lepers, they could have been angry and bitter against those people in the city. They kicked us out. They don't care about us. Why should we help them? Why should we do anything for them? And I have to tell you that sometimes I see that very attitude among Christians where they look at the world, they look at the lost, they look at the bad people of this world, and they say, you know what? They need to get what they deserve. God forbid that we get what we deserve, because we all need God's mercy. And it's not our place to judge. It's our place to share this good news that we have that saved us, because it can save them. We got the best news ever. They said, we're not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. They had to go and tell it. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 16, he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And gospel is just two words stuck together. It's good news. It's just good news. It's good news that God loves you and that Jesus died on the cross to save you, to wash your sins away, so that you could be close to God and have a real relationship with him. And I'm telling you, there's so many that need to hear this good news. Best news ever. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The good news, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God. The power of God. The power of God spoke the worlds into being. The power of God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. The power of God is in the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think some people have gotten to the place where if they're not ashamed, then they're just so familiar with it that they think it's lost its power somehow. I'm telling you, there is a power in the good news, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is able to transform the lives of those around us. We need to always remember that power is still there, life-changing power. That's what people need. Don't fall into the deception that the gospel has lost its power. See, all the problems, these terrible things going on in our world, all the issues, and a lot of people think the answer is education. I think education is a wonderful thing. But I know this. It takes the power of the gospel to transform a life. See, a lot of people, whatever social problems or, you know, these issues going on in our world, they think that money is the answer. We need to put more money into that. We need to, you know, send more money. It's going to take more money. It's always about more money, 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 money. I'm not against money. I like to have it. I don't love it. But like my dad told me when I was a younger man, he said, you know, money can't make you happy, but sometimes it can be hard to be happy without it. So yeah, I'm not against money, but I got to tell you, money is not the answer for the world's problems. The gospel of Jesus Christ transforms lives. That's the real answer, not money. And I think our money ought to be about sending the gospel. Now, some people, you know, there's all kinds of things that they think, you know, this is the answer. It's amazing how some people have come to the place now where they think that the answer is politics and government. They think that's going to fix it. I'm telling you the truth. It's never going to fix the hearts of men. It takes the gospel to do that. And there's no government. There has never been a government that has fixed all of the issues. It takes the gospel and the power of God to change lives. That's what fixes the issues. I just wish that Christians would get as excited about the gospel and the word of God and Jesus himself as they do sometimes about politics. Come on, church, we need to focus on what really changes lives. And this is it. This is the answer. I want to say it one more time. I'm not against those things. There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves and in the right perspective, but they make a terrible God. There's only one who can truly fix and change lives. He's the only one. His name is Jesus. See, the answer to the drug problem, it's to get people saved. You can't have enough rehab clinics. If they learned anything in the last 50 years, the war on drugs and everything else, it's amazing how people are going to find a way to get some drug if that's what they want to do. If they're bound up and addicted, I'm just telling you what really changes their life. It's the word of God. It is this good news that we have. See, all this greed and corruption in our world, I want to tell you, we need to get those people to Jesus. That'll change their heart. Terrible things like human trafficking. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the efforts of man don't matter at all, but I'm just telling you that when it's all said and done, the answer to human trafficking is to get people born again, to get people saved, to get people serving God and living for God. That's the real answer. You see, because if we get enough people saved and really serving God, that's culture changing. Did you know that in history there were great revivals where so many people turned their life to God that it actually changed a city, changed a nation, it impacted their culture, and God can do that again. We shouldn't limit what God can do. We need to know that this good news has the power of God to change lives. What an amazing God we serve. We just focus on Him. I tell you, see, we need to get the adulterer. They need to be born again. The transgender person, they need to hear this good news. They can be saved. The homosexual, they need to be saved. This is the answer. You can get a big sign and go hold it up and tell them they're all going to hell. That's not the answer. The answer is the good news. And that's what we need to be declaring to them, that God loves them and He paid the price for them so He could have a real relationship with them. They need to know this Savior that we love. And when I say, you know, when I'm talking about changing culture and getting people saved, I want to clarify, I ain't talking about prayed the prayer saved. I'm talking about radically saved, serving Jesus with all your heart saved. That's real. I'm not talking about some phony religion, just pretending like you're a Christian. I'm talking about when people truly turn their life over to Jesus, that changes things. We need that kind of faith and belief and religion. And hear me, we got to get this good news, the message of this good news out. Because it's not just for us, it's for them. So many believers, they've just kind of forgotten why we're still here. I mean, why did the Lord just take us on to heaven when we get saved? Because we're here for a reason. And so many people seem to forget this. They're kind of like this lady, she's driving along one day and she comes upon a terrible car wreck, and she pulls over and gets out of her car, and she sees a man that was thrown from his vehicle and he's bleeding profusely. And she tells about the story later. She says, you know, at that moment, I'm so glad that I remembered my first aid training. And I put my head between my knees so I wouldn't throw up. That's about how some Christians are about what's going on in our world and hurting people. We just want to get, you know, we just want to get through it ourselves. We can't do that. It's not right. We're here for a reason, to help other people come to know the Lord. We got a job to do. The last recorded words of Jesus before He ascends to heaven in the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark is go. He tells us to go. In Luke and Acts, He says, you shall be my witnesses. You see, He sends us, every single one of us that know the Lord, He sends us. He wants us to be willing to go. If we're born again, you need to know this. You know, we talked about how these Samaritans, you know, they weren't the chosen ones. They weren't the lucky ones. They weren't the ones that, you know, they were the ones on the wrong side of town, so to speak. But you need to know this. If you're a born-again child of God, you're not one of those anymore. You are now one of the chosen ones. Jesus says, I chose you that you should go forth and bear much fruit. You see, we're no longer strangers and foreigners. No, we've been made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. And how could we not want to share what we have and what we so enjoy every day of our life? We who were once outcast, like the lepers, we're accepted in the Beloved, bound but now free. broken, but we've been made whole. We were lost, but now we're found. We've become his servants, his vessels. And you see, it is not us, but it is the Holy Spirit in us. We got it. We've got what they need. And you might think that you're not capable. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit in you is capable. You might think nobody would listen to you. I'm telling you, God can use you. Every single one of you. God can use you. He can use you. If he can use these lepers, he absolutely can use you. We began this series talking about a Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well, called her the bad Samaritan because she had had five husbands and now she's living with another man. Quite a reputation she must have had. But after she talked to Jesus, she couldn't wait to go back into town and tell everybody about him. Who would listen to her? Who would listen to that woman? Some of you think nobody would listen to you. You're wrong. John 4:39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I ever did." Many of the Samaritans believed because of her testimony. Amazing. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Think about this. These people were not reached by the great man of God, John the Baptist. They were not reached by the disciples. They wanted to call down fire on them. They were reached by a Samaritan woman who had had five husbands and now she's living with another guy. And she's the one that brought the good news, that told them about Jesus. Some of them believed because of her testimony, and some of them had to come and hear him for themselves. You know, not everybody that you reach out to, you're going to be able to lead to the Lord. But maybe you could just invite them to church. We need to invite people to church. Tell them your story. Tell them what God has done in your life. But invite people to church. I don't care what culture says about it. I don't care what religious culture says about it. People need to be in church. There's something special in this place when we gather in his name. Get them to church. Let them experience the Lord in this house. I just want to share this with you. In 2016, Lifeway Research surveyed unchurched people, and 55% said they would attend church if they were invited by a family member. Now, I know some of you have family members that you've invited many times and they're not coming, but 55% said they would go if a family member invited them. They asked if they would attend church if they were invited by a friend or neighbor, and 51% said that they would. So think about this. If you invite a family member, a neighbor, or a friend, somebody that you know, to church, there's at least a 50% chance they'll say yes. How hard is that? I'm telling you, we got good news and we need to be sharing it. We need to be reaching out to people. We need to realize how much they need what we have. We've got something wonderful. Those guys, they found this treasures and food in those tents. What we have is so much better than that. How can we not go and tell others? I want to say it one more time. If the Lord used these four lepers, and if he used that Samaritan woman, he can use any of us, any of us. Will you let God use you? Will you be his vessel? He sends us to the world. Stand with me. We're going to pray.